Blog Talk Radio.
Chicago, that's right. It is Monday, January 9th, 2016. And Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios located on the third floor. I know, right? That's the smoothie of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And we have an outstanding, you done started already. And we have an outstanding show for you guys on today. Today's show is going to be good, man. Look here. We have a good show. It is Missional Monday. Grow your church or impact your community, which one is more important? And we're going to give you the first day, the first half day of the day one of the 21 days of fasting and praying. As always, it's your boy, your host, Mr. Dana Elkig, alongside my brother in ministry, the one, the only, Pastor Cornelius Parks from the First Bethel Church. What's going on, sir?
What it do, my brother? How you feeling?
We going to talk about that in a minute.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be good, y'all. I'm excited about it. It's fun. It's all in fun, but it's all good, though. It's going to serve a purpose. That's my mindset. It's going to serve a purpose.
There you go.
But look here, y'all. We have a great, great show for you guys. If you want to be a part of the show, this is all you have to do. If you're already listening on the line, simply push one and you can be a part of the show. For those of you already listening on the line, just push one and you can be a part of the show. If you are listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that phone number is area code 347-934-0546. Let me put that in the thing just in case. Let me go and get that started now. And if you want to email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We would love to read that email on the air. If you want to tweet the show, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, follow us on Twitter at TTLO Radio. We'd love to hear from you there as well. Social media, Facebook Live, Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there, Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there. Ustream.tv, Ustream.tv. You can find us there. Taking the Limits Off with Dan and Devon. You can find us there. And Facebook Live, Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Follow along. It's going to be good. You can watch the live simulcast of the broadcast. Real easy to do. And last but not least, iTunes. Simply go to your iTunes account, go to the podcast section, do a search for Taking the Limits Off, and you will find us right there. My God. My brother.
Man, let's open up with prayer.
Yeah, let's start. Please, sir. Go ahead.
Go ahead. We thank you, God, that you have allowed us to partake in something supernatural.
Yes.
Across this city, this country, God. We thank you once again for the visionary of Pastor Reggie Royal and the Lifeline Church, God, and we thank you for TTLO that we're partnering with them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God, we pray even during the process that you give us supernatural strength that we're able to stand still and be steadfast and unmovable, God. We expect blessings to flow from up high. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen. Also, if you guys know this, so we are participating in a 21-day fast with Lifeline Church, Pastor Reggie Royal, Pastor London Royal, over in Cicero, Illinois, right up the street from us, actually, where we are right now. So we decided for our own reasons to join in. Everybody's fasting for something different.
Amen.
But we're fasting corporately, so we're all in agreement that it needed to be done. As part of that, we're also going to start off every show with prayer and scripture. I want to give you guys this morning scripture that we posted on our website earlier today. It's today's morning fasting scripture was 1 John 5:14-15, and it simply says this: "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will,
yes, God,
he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, yeah. whatsoever we ask, we know that we will have the petitions that we desired of him.
Great scripture.
Bless you, bless you. So you're going to get a morning scripture from us. You're going to get a prayer from us. Daily, we're going to send you all some updates. We're going to post some stuff. So just keep tuned up. And let us know if you're participating with us. Let us know how it's going. Man, look, it's going to be good. But before I even get back to the fast, my brother came out the car. He got out the car walking kind of slow. Now, y'all know
Friday, he said
he had a basketball game. Y'all know he played softball.
Yeah.
He do all these different things. And my brother limping.
Listen, man. So Saturday, Saturday we had a basketball game. 40 and older,
uh-huh.
softball team. And
uh-huh.
man, you know, I was out there warming up. You know, one thing about being an athlete, man, is that mm-hmm. you forget you're fat. And I was out there razzle dazzle, just doing me what I'm normally used to doing. And so here it is.
Softball game.
No, this is basketball.
Oh, okay.
So here it is. I'm on a break, man. And this is very true. Man, I rapped, man, so hard. Mm-hmm. Like, I promise you I did. I rapped him,
uh-huh.
and I made a good dish.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as I dished, I just walked off the court. I knew.
It was over.
It was done. Man, the crowd, it was they said they never seen nothing like that. They said, I just dropped the mic. You know how you just kill a house and drop the mic?
Yeah.
I literally dropped the mic. Like,
wow.
Man, and so, man, I'm in a lot of pain. Yesterday at church,
uh-huh.
I couldn't sit down.
Yeah.
Because if I would have sat down, it would have been a hard time getting up. And so I pretty much had to stand up and do worship all day. And it was a great service overall, great work.
I saw a little clip of
that. That was just the work. The service was, I think the service was just so splendid.
That's good.
And, man, but you know, your brother in pain, man.
I saw that because you walk kind of slow.
Actually, I'm doing better today. I took some pills.
Oh, okay. Well, you all good then.
Yeah, for now.
You got that good juice.
Man, listen, here.
So, man.
But let's talk about, because I want to keep talking about my handicap.
Okay, what you got?
How was the bowling, man?
Bowling was good, man. Big shout out first off to the Just Do It bowling squad. That's the name of my team, Just Do
Just
It.
Just Do It.
Just Do It, man.
Nike.
We finally did it. We won all three games.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody showed up. It was it felt good.
And I was going to come. I'm going to tell you something. I had some I can't remember who it was. I think it was Minister Gates.
Right, but you were supposed to be out in Kalamazoo City.
Right. She said, are you still going over to see? I said, oh, well, the way I was moving and grooving just like that, it just didn't work.
So you had hurt yourself before that.
Before, man.
So you went, when you play Friday or Saturday?
Oh, you play Saturday morning.
We played at 3 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, you was done.
But listen.
Yeah.
Let me tell you how fast this was, man.
I don't even think it was 2 minutes in the game.
Oh, so you – oh, Lord, you went out like that?
I went out like that.
You did a Vinny Testaverde. You blew the Achilles on the first
play. Listen, when I tell you – I mean, I was on a break. And, I love to
uh-huh. –
I'm a big man. I love to dribble and be rising down.
Right, like,
and I rapped him – and this is my good friend Sharif, man.
Uh-huh.
I rapped him hard. All uh-huh. I heard was the jail. Ooh, like, oh.
Because right, you had got him.
Dished it off.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't even see if he made the shot. I just kept it moving. I just went on.
Oh, God.
Told him, give me an ice pack.
Oh,
and it was a wrap, man.
Oh, Lord. Oh, God.
So I feel like I got four legs.
You know,
swollen. Man, there's some painful stuff.
I do understand. So, yeah, we were able to win the game what is that? Okay, I'm like, why do I see two different host things going on up here? All right, never mind. It's confusing me. we were able to win. So let's move on past that. So yesterday, uh-huh. what was your last meal?
Oh,
what did
man,
you
let
eat
me
yesterday.
Right, so
what was your last meal on yesterday?
All right, so let me tell you this. So I wasn't even going to go out like a champ. I promise you. I'm just going to ease my way
That's
out.
That's what you said, because you had already started cutting back on stuff.
So I got upset
uh-huh.
last night.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, just got upset. And
why was you upset?
You know, just went down in the basement and
uh-huh.
just watched some TV.
Uh-huh.
And I heard something said salt and sour.
Oh, OK. Okay, the spirits.
And this is
a spirit, not the spirit, but
this
a spirit.
Is a 10 something.
Last night.
Last night. and it said, Soden Tower.
That's what it said to you?
It did. Like,
uh-huh.
And I said, what's that? And the hard part was walking up the stairs, getting to the kitchen.
Uh-huh.
But I made it.
Uh-huh.
And I closed the bag at 10:34.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not going to do it. So I had a bag of grapes.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And I tagged them.
That's what you...
So what I have for dinner now...
Uh-huh.
Now, you know, silly me,
uh-huh.
I should have went out in style.
Right, right. What did you end up getting?
Tilapia, shrimp,
oh, so you are
broccoli, and...
So you ate something happy.
I didn't even go out of style, man.
I can't even tell that lie.
Man, what you do, man? Talk to me.
Your boy went all the way out.
Did you? Come on, talk to me.
So I was trying to figure out what I was going to eat, and I said, well, do I want a steak? Do I want, you know, something? Do I want a big old ignorant burger? Do I want some fries and milkshake? Do I just want to go out with a... So I was like, no, I don't want no steak. So I went to Mariano's and bought me two boneless ribeyes.
Oh, Lord.
With the marbling in it. And said,
oh,
you know
Lord.
What I'm going to do? I'm going to make me some ribeye steak tacos.
Oh, Lord.
Man, I cooked the steak whole and sliced them bad.
Oh, Lord.
I started off with a four piece.
Oh, my God.
Went back and got three more.
Oh, my God.
I was sitting up in there so fat last night.
Oh, my God.
Sour cream and cilantro and tomatoes and all.
Let me tell you this. I had two bags of those little nugget, hot and spicy nugget things,
uh-huh.
right? So I'm on my way home, and man, when I tell you these things was burning my mouth, they was roasting my mouth. So I was looking in the armrest because I tried to clean out
everything.
All the thing that's going to make me
right,
snooze.
Right, right.
I looked in there. I found the green fish.
Oh, no.
I ate it. It didn't do nothing.
Right.
So I was dreaming, right? I was dreaming that I still had the fish in my mouth. I got mad at myself. I said, man, I failed.
Oh, God.
It was only a dream.
Man, I killed them tacos last night.
Did you, man?
So I was trying.
Now, what kind of shells did you have?
A corn.
Okay.
I did do corn. I did white corn.
Okay.
I'm
going to
be using them white corn for during this week.
I see. No offense. I see how Meska stays. Kind of trip. They pop them things in the microwave. Pull them out, baby.
So look here. So I had two cans of cold cherry Pepsi left in the refrigerator, right?
Wow.
And about a half a jug of Simply Lemonade.
That's right. Cherry Pepsi.
Right,
that's my thing, right?
Yeah. So I'm sitting there. So I started the meal off with a Pepsi. I'm good. I got the ice glass, cold glass. I got the glass was in the fridge chilling. It was icy. I mean, frosted. I'm getting ready. I killed that one. Then I went and got the second Pepsi. I'm good. Then I went and got some more tacos. So I'm eating it. Then I pour a glass of lemonade. So I said, okay, now I got to clean up the stuff. So I put the stuff in the dishwasher. Then I came back and I said, well, it got late. So I'm sitting there. So I nodded off. You know, it had that itis kicked in.
Yes,
so then I woke up. I said, what else can I eat before? It was about 11:30, right? So I said, I got 30 minutes.
No, you did.
I said, oh, you did.
Yes, I did.
I said, I got 30 minutes. So it was a piece of cold steak left laying over there.
I went in it.
Did you?
Yes, I did. So then I got one of them red cups down, and I filled it up with the last of the lemonade. So I'm sitting there.
God.
So now I'm programming the show, right,
uh-huh.
for the day. So I'm sitting there, and I'm doing the stuff, and sipping on lemonade. I'm full. Don't even want it, but I'm sipping because I don't want it to be in the refrigerator. I want it to be gone. So I'm sitting there, I'm sipping. Man, I look up, it was 12:01. I said, oh, Lord. I'm just sitting there. I just got on up and poured it out.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it hurt my heart to pour that Simply Lemonade out. It hurt my heart. So this morning, I said, well, so last night, I cut up all my fruit and stuff from my smoothies. I went and got bananas, pears, green grapes, green apples, and pineapples.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and got all my stuff, and I prepped it last night. So I cut up all the bananas. Well, I had bananas already frozen in the freezer.
Okay.
So I cut up all the pineapples, the apples, the pears, the kale, and everything. So this morning I got up, and I woke up, had a slight headache this morning. I'm like, oh, here we go. I said, see, I said, this the devil right here. I already want to start off with a headache. See, that's because I'm thinking, I'm like, is this a hungry headache? Trying to figure it out. So I got up, started with the, I was excited. So, all right, let's make this smoothie, right? So I'm like, all right, trying to remember how they do it at Mariano's, right? So I put my bananas and stuff. I got, but you know, a dude told me, he said, look here, just grab two pieces of everything. So I grabbed two pieces of banana, two quarter slices of pears, two quarter slices of apple, handful of grapes, threw it over in the thing. Dum Dum over here, me, I think I grabbed too much kale.
Oh, my God.
Man, so I put all the stuff in there, coconut water. First of all, I need somebody to tell me why coconut water costs so much.
It does.
One thing of coconut water was almost $5.
Now, I'm mad because one of my donors gave me some coconut water.
And you gave away.
And when I tell you cases of it.
Oh, Lord, no.
I never knew what it was. I mean, coconut water. I'm thinking about coconut flavor off the snowball. Like, I just don't do it. I see you put, coconut. That's what they do.
That's what they use. So,
man,
I got the thing in there, man. So I put it. I got the Ninja blender. The Ninja.
Oh, you got Ninja.
I got the Ninja blender. Yeah, that's one step below the Vitamix. I refuse to pay $400 for a blender.
Okay.
But anyway, I mean, the blender costs like $300.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I put everything in there, and the thing blended up, and it had the right color. I said, oh, this is good. So I pulled the lid off. I said, this look kind of thick. So I put a little more coconut water over in there, right? And threw a couple more grapes in there to, you know, to knock it out. Because I froze everything. Now, the grapes were frozen.
Okay.
And the bananas were froze.
Okay.
So that was to keep it cold. So, you know, I threw all that in there. Man, I put it in, I posted this earlier. I put it in my Batman glass. You know, I was ready.
I seen that. The motivation.
Look, bro, I was ready, right? I put it in my glass and everything. Man, I took the first sip. I said, oh, okay. And then I started chewing. I said, what am I chewing on? You know, let me tell y'all about Dum Dum over here. I didn't take the seeds out the apple. I didn't take the seeds. I didn't take the seeds out the pear. I'm in there about to die. I said, oh, Lord, the devil is
born. Oh, wow.
But I made two. So I'm going to finish the other one when I get home.
So that you do it twice a day?
Well, no, I'm going to do it like if I need a snack. So okay. that was my breakfast. Literally, was my breakfast this morning because I didn't feel like I was gonna make me. I'm gonna be corn tortilla shelled out.
Yeah.
So
but
I can't.
So good. Too,
I know because I was gonna make me a little egg and just wrap it in the
on the rib
and just call it a day.
A breakfast burrito.
But then I was like, no, because I might be eating that later on. So, it worked out, man. It worked out. I was happy. I'm glad it's on. You know, and then some people are just not friends. Let me tell you. So I put. Y'all saw I put the post on Facebook earlier. So I put up here, you know, that, my post simply said, ain't no anointing in this smoothie. You know, that's what I said. And then so some of these special people of mine, I like to call them Facebook friends, going to talk about some, what did they say? I guess the Batman cup is supposed to help the taste.
You know, let me say this.
Leslie Lewis,
sometimes we need motivation.
Right.
Y'all don't see what I'm doing.
All right, he got a big old 52-gallon jug.
Just for water. So this is my motivation. I take this everywhere I go so I can just sip because my goal is to do a gallon a day.
Wow.
Just a gallon a day would help you lose weight anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I'm not just doing – I'm doing it also for spiritual,
yeah,
but I'm
absolutely.
Doing it for
absolutely.
Discipline myself to get myself back into shape.
Yeah, you know, so you did that, and you're doing it for spirit. And then I went through my scripture this morning. After I read the scripture, I sent it to Tanya so she could, you know, for our breakfast scripture. We're gonna put another one up after the show for lunch because my stomach already growled.
You know, I can't wait to eat. I got me some tuna.
Yeah, what you got?
Tuna and tomatoes.
That's your lunch.
That's man. My tomatoes is symbolic of my meat.
Red. So what's your dinner for tonight?
I haven't got
you
that
far.
can play around with dinner because I can make some fish tacos.
Okay.
Shrimp tacos.
Okay.
With them corn shells. That's what I'm talking about, y'all. Y'all don't understand. See, I've set my mind to do this in 2016.
Yes.
So I knew I couldn't just do cold turkey right away.
Absolutely.
So I had to start progressing myself to get to this place where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really serious. Even Saturday when I pulled my groin, that just showed me, you know, dude, listen, get it off you.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
no, I mean, you're an athlete, number one.
Right.
No matter how old you are, you're still an athlete. That's just one of the.
Right.
I see a lot of my guys I play ball with that still look good, man.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to get in that number.
Right.
You know, I don't want to be had from the class reunions.
Right.
Or they looking at what happened to you. What you mean, what happened?
Well, it does. It's, you know, like we said, we're not doing this just for the dietary portion.
Sure.
It's a spiritual and physical thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't, makes no sense to do one without doing the other
because mm-hmm.
you're going to be off balance. You can be in the best
yeah.
shape of your life and be
yeah.
spiritually broken.
That's right. That's right.
so
that's
you know,
right.
if I had to choose, I'll take spiritually healthy and work on the physical.
Now, you know what I did last week? And
okay.
I mentioned this year,
mm-hmm.
And which is a challenge. And I learned this. It's a challenge from last week.
Okay.
My goal is to read one book a week.
Yes, you did. You said
I
that.
Did. I completed that.
That's good.
My first book was Breakthrough.
That's good.
Joel Osteen. And so my next book this week is Help Your Pastor to Succeed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How to Help Your Pastor to Succeed.
Okay.
Now, I read this book before, but I didn't get the revelation that I needed back then when I read it. Because I read it as a associate. Now I'm reading as a pastor.
That's a little bit different. Yeah.
And so I'm going, and this is something that we're going to teach the people. Because truth of the matter, this is my third year, and this is my contract year.
Okay.
At
okay.
the church.
Ah, okay.
So, you know, if I stay, if I go, it's been a run.
Gotcha.
And so we're going, if I'm molding them for the next
mm-hmm.
person or.
Right.
If we come to an agreement that I stay, then, hey, we'll do it. But this is the year.
That's good, man. That's good. That's good stuff. I started, I just bought, and I only read like the first page or two. It's really good. I just haven't had to get back focused on it. This book called Dangerous Calling.
Oh man!
Just bought this on the Kindle.
Hold on, my group. We do a group.
Yeah.
Keep Gordon.
Yeah,
yeah.
He sent it out.
Yeah,
okay, and that's when
yeah.
I bought it.
Yeah. So we talking about that on Friday morning.
Oh, okay.
We got a Friday morning call with Pastor Meeks.
Oh, okay.
It's a Q&A. It's Iron Sharpened Iron. And
yeah.
That's the book that we're
It's great, man. It's good.
Okay.
It's good so far. I'm gonna go ahead and knock it out, but it's good.
You brought that on Kindle?
Yeah, I bought it on for the Kindle. You can do if you don't have a Kindle, you can get the Kindle app.
Yeah, I got Kindle too.
Oh, okay. Well,
you know, I think I'm the only fool that got tablets that don't use it.
But I can't stand real books.
I have two.
Oh wow. Yeah.
Oh, let me check, man. So I walked in when I went to Pastor Leon Miller and Shelly
yeah.
Harmon, the
okay.
restaurant.
Okay.
The family restaurant.
Yeah.
I walk in there with a book, and a preacher gonna tell me, a bishop, oh, I didn't know you read. Man, I was finna rip him. I really
be funny.
I really
okay.
was gonna rip him.
Yeah, cause
he's one of the ones that went. Yeah, I mean,
mm-hmm.
and I just looked at him, and
mm-hmm.
if I would have backfired, see,
yeah.
the Lord is giving me
yeah.
patience
because you have to learn how to.
Man,
yeah,
I promise you, man. I think I have been a good Cornelius Parks.
Yeah.
Normally, when somebody says something dumb, and
you have to be ready to react.
Ready?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm ready.
Right.
Man.
Yeah. Sunday was like that for me, but I sat in the balcony on Sunday.
Oh, did you?
Yes,
how was the service?
It was fine. It was
okay.
Fine. It was
free.
Said, Tyreek.
Beard?
Davis.
Oh,
Tariq Davis from Body of Christ.
Okay.
He's an associate
okay.
minister
okay.
over at Body of Christ. Tariq
okay.
Davis.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so he preached on Sunday. But yeah, I sat in the balcony all day Sunday. Came
yeah,
in, helped set up the sound, and then I came up in and annoyed my little sound man. I'm sure he was annoyed. I was sitting up there with him.
I know he probably was.
Why are you up here?
Yeah, like, man, go
what
somewhere.
You doing? Don't stop looking at
so
me.
So you didn't run the pulpit or nothing?
Nope.
Now, I had a lot of call offs.
Did you?
Oh, you had some more call-offs?
I counted 15.
Wow.
Really?
I counted 15 Sunday. Yeah.
Really?
I did. And one family is like, it's seven of them.
Uh-huh.
One family. And you know, I don't know. The Spirit of God was in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank God for my preparation now, man, because I'm preparing myself in a place that win, lose, or draw,
mm-hmm.
God would never have the opportunity to say any longer that you wasn't ready.
Yeah, that's good.
And this is my discipline. This is where I'm going with my personal development for 2017.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that I can get to that place in God that he can honestly say, good and faithful servant, job well done.
That's good.
I felt good yesterday. Mm-hmm. I really felt good. Worship was at an all time.
You look like you was trying to hoop a little bit when I deposited the video.
I can pull it if I have a musician. If I don't have a musician, then I can just drive.
Yeah.
But if I have a musician, I can play with it. Because
it looked
bit.
Like you was ready.
Yeah, I had a good day yesterday.
Yeah, I could tell.
I had a good day. Oh, my groin. That was the crazy part. Yeah. Yeah. My groin looked back and wondered how I made it over.
That's crazy. Real quick, there was another, I don't know if you saw it on your way, it was another shooting on the island.
It really wasn't on the island.
It was on the side.
So what happened, the car got to the side.
Yeah.
It was on the other side.
Yeah, and I heard them on, I was watching the news because it was like right at 11 o'clock and I saw it. And it started, I guess, at California.
Uh-huh.
And then ended up all the way down on Cicero.
Uh-huh. Because
I saw the police and everything on the south side of Cicero right before the exit.
Uh-huh.
News cameras, everything over there.
Yeah.
But the expressway was still open.
It was still open.
Thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord. It's still open.
Because I'm like, what?
Taping everything. I said, man, this is ridiculous, man.
It's sad.
You know, I don't like the cold weather, but I'd be glad when they get cold and stick for a while.
Yeah.
Because I'm tired of seeing this stuff that's taking place, man, in our city of Chicago. I don't want us to get immune to the violence in the city of Chicago.
I'll be a little late for that.
I know, but, you know,
It feels like it's already there. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It just really does. It feels like it's already there.
Yeah, that's the crazy part. The crazy part.
Yeah, it really does. It really does.
I mean, so much killing, shooting. Robin, man, it's happening all over.
Yeah, it is. You had the shooting in the airport Friday.
In the airport
and
Friday,
they released the video. You saw the video?
Yeah, man,
I'm
that's
like,
crazy.
I'm like, this is insane, man. It's so much going on. And then, speaking of that, the governor, I don't know if you saw the video of the governor of Florida.
No.
So he's on, and he says, this is him at the thing, on at the press conference. I spoke with President-elect Trump and Vice President-elect Pence, and they said that they would support us, send us any and all support that they were capable of doing.
So, in essence, they're trying to push President Barack Obama out.
First of all, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Because President-elect Trump can't send you nothing today.
Exactly.
Now, in 11 days from now, he can send you some stuff. But who you should have been, so what you're saying is, whatever help you need or the people in Florida need, because you are so caught up in your traditional partisan right-wing versus left-wing mess, you're going to withhold support from the people of Florida until Trump get in office.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
You sound like an idiot.
That's
crazy. And if you live in Florida, I know I got some, Marissa, if you live in Florida and this fool is your governor, you need to remember that when it's time to vote again, because he said he going to wait. Not that he's going to wait. He called the president elect.
Yeah.
And asked him for some help.
See, that's the problem. That's separatism.
That's all it is.
It's amazing. You know, he could have easily contacted president.
He could have called
directly.
He got the hotline.
I mean, come on.
But you calling the vice president, the people that ain't got no juice yet.
Man.
Stupidity. Let me see. Speak to the people. God bless y'all. God bless y'all. Let me see here. Marissa Williams, bless you. She says she's participating as well. Yolanda King, how are you? Deborah Vines. She says, I love watching your show while working.
Yeah.
Tamla King, what's going on? Faith Haygood, good morning. Let us know. You know, it's the first day. We ain't going to harp on it too long. We want to know how you guys are doing. Those of you who are participating along with us in Lifeline Church, with this 21 days of fasting and praying. And again, if you try to get on to the show as soon as we start, because we open up the show during this 21 days. We're opening up with prayer and with scripture. We're giving you your fasting prayers and your fasting scripture for the time. So please, if you don't want to miss out there, try to get in as early as possible when we do that.
Yeah.
Amen. So what else is going on with you, man?
Man, listen here. Just try to maintain vision, moving
mm-hmm.
forward.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still, and I know we talked about this Friday, but I got to say something else about the Kim Burrell situation.
Oh, come on.
And I'm really upset with the response of, number one, pastors, people,
mm-hmm.
Christians,
mm-hmm.
if you want to call them that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody now talking about this love thing. You know, we don't hate this. If you listen to her, she never talked about she hate them. She hates their sin. But now it's that's the only group of people that we can't talk about.
And she said God hates the sin.
Right.
She didn't even say herself. She said God hates the sin, which is absolutely spiritually correct.
So my gripe with this is, people of God, we all have flaws.
Yes.
We all have shortcomings.
And we've all stood in the pulpit and probably said something that came out the wrong way.
And none of us got that agape love.
Come on.
Only a person that can give agape love is Jesus Christ himself and God.
Come on.
Listen, we all love with conditions.
Yeah.
I'm being honest with you.
Yeah.
If a person is not responding the way we want them to respond, the love, the thrill is gone. B.B. Keenum. Amen.
Yeah.
And so what happens, people keep talking about this love. This don't have anything to do with love. I'm tired of us having to tiptoe around to make sure that we don't hurt nobody's feelings.
Mm-hmm.
The word of God is a sharp edge. It pierces.
Yeah.
It brings conviction. And, you know, the problem we have is that it's time that we be bold as believers and stop trying to get everybody to like us.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is not going to like everything you do, everything you say. And truth of the matter, there's many people probably despise you and I. But, hey, they got to respect who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And some people don't even do that. Why spend time trying to get somebody to agree with you, or you sound so theological sound that you want everybody to say, oh, you're deep. Man, stop that. I'm tired of these preachers like that, man.
Yeah.
Listen, man, I'm telling you, man, I pray to God that he would keep me humble in the place that I'm at in him, man, because some of these guys, man, you stop trying to be one way in public and another one behind closed doors.
Yeah. Yeah,
God sees it all, man.
Yeah, as we, I think it was
Fools.
Yeah, I think we talked about it briefly Friday about she lost a TV show and her radio show. She got disinvited from Ellen, and then she was supposed to be honored at the Billboard Music Awards,
and they
took her off.
They only honored Marvin Sapp.
Marvin Sapp, yeah. So they took her off completely, which is and then what's so amazing to me is the response from the very people that say we're preaching hate.
Man.
The response from the gay community is, I bet she'll go somewhere and sit her. They call out her name. They talk about her weight, her size. But you're preaching love.
Man,
so who's really spewing the hate?
My point.
Who's really spewing the hate?
But they think it's okay.
Yeah.
They think it's okay. And you know, I'm going to tell you what is love. And true and all, God is love.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Carlton Pierce.
Ah.
Is that effect that's really coming back. And it's hurting a lot of people. Feel like you can do whatever you want to do, how you want to do it, when you want to do it. As long as you love God, you're going to heaven.
Yeah. That's.
And you know, that is really how people are looking at the church now.
Yeah.
And now it's a shame. The church is moving in the same direction how parents are with their kids.
Yes.
We cannot chastise them. So now we can't chastise them in the church.
Yeah.
Here, if a couple, same sex couple come to you and ask for you to marry them.
Right.
And you deny them.
Yes.
They can take you to court.
Yes.
And that is just totally wrong.
Absolutely.
It's wrong. And, you know, I have no problem with no person, and I'm not just trying to separate anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem with no person. But as a believer, I know what I stand for.
Mm-hmm.
As a man of God, I know what I stand for.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes what I stand for is not right in others' eyesight. And even sometimes in my actions, it might not be 100% correct.
Mm-hmm.
However, in order to get to any place in life, we got to believe in something.
Mm-hmm.
And if they believe in what they believe in, what's wrong with us believing and taking a stand for what we stand for? And that's the problem, because we get in these little small groups, and I'm gonna keep it real.
Mm-hmm.
Preachers get in these little small Facebook groups,
mm-hmm.
and they talking about how they will deal with the matter, but then they will go Facebook Live and do something totally different. You a clown.
Yeah,
I'm tired of that.
Yeah,
I am, and I'm not trying to talk about no man or woman of God. God bless your soul, bless your ministry.
Right,
we need you to survive, but in the same token, don't be lukewarm.
Mm-hmm.
You're either going to be hot or cold with the matter.
Yeah.
And so it's not even a we look at it as a big dart thrown at Kim Burrell, but this is a dart thrown at the body of Christ.
It really is.
It's much bigger than
it
that.
Really is, because Kim Burrell, if we're honest, she only preached what real pastors have been preaching for years.
Yeah. Yeah,
the only difference is somebody put hers on Facebook Live.
Somebody put hers on Facebook Live.
That's the only difference. So,
yeah.
So and you can call it hate speech or whatever, but it's not. And I had this. I was having this conversation with someone the other day. If you feel like what's going on is what I'm sorry, what does the liar and the fornicator do? Does the fornicators form a group, a special class society of fornicators, and they join the group, and then all of a sudden now you can't preach against fornication?
That's crazy.
And do the thieves join the group and say, well, we're a group of thieves,
yeah,
and we gonna make our own, and we got rights too?
Yeah.
I mean, so don't kid me with this. Okay, fine. I've never saw a group of people, just because you don't agree with what we do, you try to tear us down, and then you tear down what we believe in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you don't get to claim mm-hmm. bits and pieces of God. That's not the way God works. Either you take all of God or none of God.
Right. Right.
So you don't get to pick and choose.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and these debates going back and forth, I like a good, healthy conversation. But I'm not going to debate you.
There you go.
About what I believe. If you go into it, it's just like when you spoke with the atheist.
Uh-huh.
If you come into it not even wanting to hear,
right,
or if your mind is made up,
right,
then there's no sense of us having a conversation.
Right. Right.
If your mind is so it's just like you coming to me. My mind is made up. I know who Jesus is.
Yeah.
So if you come to me to try to tell me something different, guess what? I don't hear nothing you saying.
Yeah.
So the only way that works is that if there's an inkling of doubt,
wow,
already there. If I got some doubts about who Jesus is, then you can say enough words to infiltrate my thinking,
yeah,
and eventually get me to at least listen to you.
Yeah.
But when I know that my hope is built on nothing less,
yeah,
then ain't nothing you gonna be able to tell me about the Jesus that I serve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's why the scripture says we'd be ashamed of him before men,
mm-hmm.
then he'll be ashamed of us before his Father which is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say this to all believers out here. Sometimes it's best for you not to get into deep conversation
especially when you're not prepared.
Especially when you're not prepared, exactly, about what you stand for. Because some people can run loops around you.
That's true.
And make you look like a fool.
Yeah.
And that's why most people turn for what they believe in, because they don't have the knowledge or understanding personally what they believe in.
Yeah.
And so what happens, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses, mm-hmm. when they come to your door,
mm-hmm.
we turn away because they know their business better than us.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. They'll quote scripture right back to you.
Right back to you.
Yeah, sure will.
We run from stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I see, like, the going thing now on Facebook, and and many of our friends are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
They are making a mockery of the church. They're making a mockery of Jesus. They're making a mockery, not even so much God, but Jesus and the church.
Mm-hmm.
I seen deacons
mm-hmm.
that no longer are in the church, in the Christian church,
mm-hmm.
talking about the church, talking about Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people of God, your solution to that madness is not trying to go at them. You got to pray for those souls.
Yeah.
You got to pray for those and simply do what Jesus said. Father, please forgive them, for they know not what they do. Everyone can receive salvation, but everyone will not receive salvation.
That's right.
And it's not because of Jesus, not who Jesus is. It's because of their decision or not to receive it.
Yeah.
And we got to stop arguing, bickering, debating, and trying to convince people that don't want to hear what you're saying about who Jesus is. There's too many lost people out here that want to know about a man.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is, you trying to convince a person who knew about a man and still know about a man, but just not living for a man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time out that we stop that, because what happens, I said this before on probably a month ago on the show, there's three conversations I wouldn't have with people.
Mm.
One, I'm not going to talk about politics.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. Two, I'm not going to talk religion.
Mm-hmm.
And three, I forgot the third one, which was crazy. But them two main, politics and religion, will damage a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
It would damage because truth of the matter, we as people don't respect a person's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you respect their opinion does not mean that you're agreeing with them or even disagreeing.
Mm-hmm.
You're just respecting what they feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't, at the end of the day, I'm not Jesus, y'all. I can only go off of what I believe and what I stand for.
Right.
I can't say the next person going to hell. I can't. The truth of the matter, I can only hope that I'm going to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can only hope for what I believe in with the word of God. Now, I would be upset that when the day end of time and I did all this work, dealt with many of you people that I didn't want to deal with, bridled my tongue, gave as much as I did, and I'm not going to heaven. Now, that would make me upset. But until that day come, I know I'm going to live for Jesus all of my days.
Yeah.
And so I want to tell all of you guys, you got to know what you stand for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's time out that we're competing with churches. It's time out we're competing who got the best word out here.
Yeah.
Matthew 25, according to your ability.
Yeah.
That's how the Lord blesses us. And I thank God. And it's enough souls out there to be saved.
Enough.
Everybody. Man. Y'all see. Look at where we live at.
Man.
Take Chicago.
Man,
look at where we live at. It's enough souls for everybody to go out there.
Because
what you going to do once yours get filled up?
Man, that's crazy.
I mean, so it's plenty of souls out there for everybody for all this competition. And that's part of the reason why the enemy has been allowed to flourish, because we are so divided.
I'm going to show you. Sunday, yesterday, I seen someone put a post about Matthew Stevens.
Okay.
That 52 people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in relationship. There you go. Marriages.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Faith.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Stevens, it was 52 people joined service yesterday.
Wow.
Now, I'm not going to get into the debate if they was new converts
or
not.
Don't matter.
But listen, I applaud that.
Absolutely.
You know, I wish I could have that in my church.
Right.
However, if he got the capacity.
That's right.
Let's celebrate with this man.
Absolutely.
Let's not knock this man.
Absolutely.
And it's time out. We're knocking.
Yeah.
We're knocking everybody. If the older guys, if you see these young guys is going forth and young people come to the church, man, so be it. Because truth of the matter, they're not coming to a lot of older churches anymore. They're not. And we got to accept that. We they're not coming to these older churches. Listen, they tired of hearing he's a healer.
Yeah.
They tired of hearing he's a way out of no way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They tired of hearing he's a bright morning star. They know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they need to know some other things, how to deal with best practice principles on how to live this life.
Yeah.
They need to know, how do I deal with this addiction? How do I deal with this abusive relationship? How do I deal with maintaining my equilibrium while I'm in school? How do I deal with my sanity? There's many things that they need to know that the older guys are not preaching, because, number one, you can't preach something that you've never been.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what happened, there's really no balance in the older churches. And then these younger guys, they need to bring some traditions back and create that balance.
Yeah.
That we as a people of God, that we can link this thing together and trust God that he's going to do a massive takeover in this world.
Yeah, because you have to have a balance. And it's actually going to roll us into our article, so we're going to start that in about 2 minutes. You have to have a balance in both, because watch this. If you don't, young folk are real fickle.
Very.
And
very.
And I mean, they'll be with you real good and strong for about 6 months.
Yes.
And then somebody else come along somewhere else.
Yes.
And they'll run over to that and come back and back and forth. Your senior saints are stalwarts.
There you go.
They are anchors. They ain't going nowhere.
Foundation.
So you need to make sure. Exactly. You need to make sure that you got something in the program.
Mm-hmm. something in the ministry to keep them anchored and interested. They ain't going nowhere, so you might as well give them something.
Yeah.
Because if you have them, if they're there, use them.
Yeah.
Put them in a position to be used. There's a reason why God has extended their years. So don't overlook them and say, oh, well, they just hit, ain't going nowhere.
Say that again.
There's a reason. There's a reason why God has extended their years.
That's good, man.
So that's wisdom there, and
yeah.
you have to want to take advantage of it. So you have to make sure that you're not that you're just feeding your young people, but that you're feeding their souls as well.
Yeah.
So it is, and I'm not telling you to change your word, but it's simple. You do it with some song. You do it with a different type of worship every now and then, but you have to make sure they're included. When you do a prayer call, you get one of them mothers up and say, can you pray for the church, mother?
Man, I'm serious.
You know what I'm saying?
Honestly,
that's it. Right.
Man.
Can you pray for the church, mother? Can you do this? Can you do that? And these are the things that we're asking, you know, that we should be asking them to do. And, you know, because watch this. If somebody sees one of the I don't see it again. It's not like it used to be. But I know here we had some mothers back in the day that could pray the paint off the wall.
Man,
I mean, could just get down and make you and you could be sitting there doing absolutely nothing and feel like you done did something like, Lord, come.
Man.
I'm sorry, Jesus, I ain't did nothing because they praying and the conviction
you
was setting.
Man, I had a situation yesterday. I was talking with some of the board and I can't talk about the matter. But one of the mothers said that there's some things going on at church that pastor, you don't have to be afraid to preach on.
Mm-hmm.
And she said maybe that's the reason why some other people left. Because they don't know if you're agreeing with it or not. I said, well, Mom, let me say this. You're elder of the church.
Yeah.
You have the right to address a matter.
Yes.
Out of love. Be tactful.
Yes.
Everything that being addressed in the church does not have to come from the pulpit.
That's true.
I'm trying to get everything
that's true.
That is being addressed in the church
yeah.
does not always have to come from the pulpit.
That's true.
And so if you see a problem
yep.
as a seasoned saint,
right.
as an elder,
that's right.
Now, the cliche, because this is not scripture,
mm-hmm.
they lied to y'all and said this is scripture, that the young is for war and the old is for counsel.
Wow.
That's not scripture. That's a cliche.
Wow.
That's a cliche, y'all. So if you are for counsel, counsel suggests wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Children are old, young are those that's go getters. We get out and do the work. We're the ones who witnessing. We're the ones who are going door to door. You're the ones who praying for us while we out there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you see a matter,
mm-hmm.
don't allow it to linger.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a problem with it, thinking I have not addressed it. You have just as much right
mm-hmm.
to address it.
Yeah.
Than I do.
Yeah.
But the problem. We don't know how to address it.
But again, you have someone who is better equipped to address it than probably you are. She did the right thing by coming to you.
Uh-huh.
Because here's the deal. See, the problem happens when people want to address stuff without permission.
Mm-hmm.
So she came to you and said, okay, now it's like, you know what? Hey, you're more educated about this than me. I'm gonna give you the flow,
but not really because she wanted me. See this?
Oh, okay. So it's
she
one,
wanted
okay.
me standing in the pulpit.
Because
right.
you know why? You know
I,
why?
See, I address sin.
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. And I'll speak this from experience. I can preach about timeliness and holding people accountable.
Sure.
All day long.
Sure.
But if the pastor don't say it,
mm-hmm.
so it's like if I see people walking in and out the church,
mm-hmm.
right, and they doing all this walking during service,
mm-hmm.
they going to the store, you see them come back with the black bags and the fries and everything else, and they sitting in the back, don't think nobody see them.
Well, yeah,
they
fries now.
Yeah, I know, right? But they back there doing all this different stuff during the service. If I say something, it don't mean anything. If the announcement clerk says it from the floor,
it doesn't.
Doesn't mean anything. But when the pastor says
mm-hmm.
it. And says, hey, I see you
mm-hmm.
and you
mm-hmm.
and y'all over there and all this extra. Then it means something. So I absolutely get your point. But sometimes some things need to be addressed from the pulpit and from the shepherd.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
What if these people are visitors?
That's different. That's different.
That's my
yeah,
point.
Absolutely. That's
see,
different.
I think a lot of times we don't know how to bait people in. We
yeah.
bait them with love. We make them feel comfortable, and then now we work on their condition.
Yeah.
All of us, when we became Christians, when we got in this journey,
yes,
we didn't come in wholeheartedly and say, okay, here I am, God, use me, do whatever you want to do. There were some episodes that took place in our lives to get us to where we are today.
Yes.
And even though it was some episodes,
right.
Here, I've been preaching 20 years and I still sin.
Okay.
I still mess up.
Right.
There are some things about me
right.
that I still pray to God to take out of me.
Okay.
And so if I'm still, as we call it, under construction,
mm-hmm.
why wouldn't someone who don't know the Lord
yes.
Be as in a worse condition
yeah.
than I am?
Absolutely.
And so what happens, and this is going to bless somebody, because we see matters and what we do, we
mm-hmm.
talk about them,
mm-hmm.
but not showing them love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the church, I remember the usher used to come to you
mm-hmm.
when you had gum in your mouth
oh, yeah.
with her hand out.
Yeah.
She didn't have to say nothing to you.
And you knew better.
You automatically knew what it was.
Yeah.
I remember in the church when they put the chain across
mm-hmm.
the middle aisle.
Yeah.
We knew what that meant.
You couldn't walk down
you
there.
You couldn't walk down there.
Yeah.
Nowadays, we don't respect certain things in the church.
Yeah.
And this is one of those cases where we tried to become so untraditional that we took away some of the actual necessary things.
So we take the chain, but we still keep the
right
the thing over communion.
The cover and over communion.
Don't get me started. Don't get me started.
I'm just saying, like, look, y'all, this has been really good. Look, if you want to chime in on any of the conversation, you want to chime in real quick. If y'all see, man, I see y'all got the phone lines filled up. You want to come on in, just push one. If you're already listening on your phone, just push one. Then I'll get you to my producer. She'll ask you what you want. Then she'll put you through to us. If you want to chime in on anything we've been talking about, just push one. Those of you on Facebook Live, God bless y'all. Let me come back and check and see how many of y'all over here. We all over the place. No, it's race. Just thought about it. Oh, okay. Politics, religion, relationships. Yeah. So, bless you. Thank you, Faith. So it's so much stuff, man, going on. But look, we got this really, really, really good article, right? It's going to be good. I'm excited about it. It's simply entitled, I'm going to find it in a minute. Thank you. It's simply entitled, Grow Your Church or Impact Your Community.
I like that.
Grow your church or impact your community. And we're going to look at which one fits what or what's more important. So, look, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to catch our breath. You know, when you don't really eat nothing, your energy go quick. Y'all know I ain't right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into today's conversation. Y'all stay blessed, man. TTLO.
I need some seeds.
Darling, where are you?
You should have got this. You can get some. You can eat them. Yeah.
How many know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask for things according to the power that worketh in us?
Hallelujah. How many believe it tonight? Somebody turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, he's able. Tell somebody else, he's able. Y'all ready?
Exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask for. Power that worketh in you, God is able to do just what he said he would do. He's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. He's able.
How many believe it tonight?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We got. I got slick now. I'm playing two separate sets of music. Those of you on Facebook Live got to hear some At the Altar.
And then the folk on the blog talk on the radio side got to listen to some He's Able.
Boy, we fancy.
Yeah, we got a little fancy.
We fancy now.
Somebody going to say we're doing too much. I'm just waiting on it. But look here. But look here, y'all. We got this really good article, right? Grow your church or impact your community. That's the conversation again. Grow your church or impact your community. That's where we're going to jump on in a few seconds. Just want to real quick mention what you said. Just one of the things you talked about, and I don't want people to misconstrue what we were saying. We're not promoting the fact that the church is divided. We're recognizing that there is some division.
Exactly.
And in order to fix or heal anything, you first have to recognize that there is a problem.
Yeah.
And there's so many different things. You mentioned this earlier, all the different Facebook groups. You got pastors that's in this group.
Yeah.
You got a pastor. I might be in this group as a pastor, but then I'm in another group as a pastor that none of these people are in.
Yeah.
And then you start looking like, well, how come we all just can't be in one group together?
Yeah.
Why are we so divided and hoarders of information?
Hoarders
of information. That's what I like to call us, because it's we don't recognize all of this stuff. God has given us all of this knowledge and all of this purpose and all of this direction only for us to lead other people. So if I could help another ministry, why would I hold that back? Why would I not reach out and try to help another ministry? Because at the end of the day, God is going to say, look here, you had all this information. You just kept it to the 25, to the 40, 50 people you know, or you kept it to the 150 in your building. When you could have, instead of you reaching thousands, you just kept it to the 150, because the other 900, they wasn't yours, so you didn't put no word out.
You know, what's my struggle with it? My struggle is this. If you're saying one thing behind closed doors,
yeah,
keep that same word openly.
Yes.
And what happens is a lot of guys, they go along to get along,
mm-hmm.
Say certain things when they're in a group. But then when they've been interviewed, challenged, or questioned, their answer is not the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I have an issue with that.
Mm-hmm.
Continue to be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Only be you, because everybody else is taken.
Yeah.
And don't let nobody steal your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Psalms 81:10 says, open up your mouth and the Lord will fill it up. You got to allow God to fill whatever it is that he wants you to disperse out of your mouth.
Yeah.
And you got to trust that even though there's some things that you're going to say is going to be in disagreement to people. And I think that's one of the struggles we have as smaller churches. We're afraid to talk about matters. We're afraid to say certain things because we think that they're going to leave us and go somewhere else.
Yes.
You got to have a spirit of boldness. And I thank God for the Pastor Hannes, because he has a spirit of boldness.
Absolutely.
I thank God for a lot of pastors. And I know I threw him out. Reggie Royal.
Yes.
I'm talking about all these progressive churches.
Yes, absolutely.
That's really impacting
absolutely.
The kingdom of God.
Yes.
And so I just have an issue, you know. I'm not perfect, but I sure try my best when I'm in that sacred seat slot behind that pulpit that I'm giving all that the Lord is giving me to give to the people.
We can never be perfect, but we should be striving for it.
Mm-hmm.
We should be striving for perfection, doing what we can to to one day to get as close as we possibly can.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's it. All right, so let's jump into this article, man. Look, this is about to be good. If you haven't already done so, if you're on Facebook Live, if you're on Ustream, I see y'all over there. If you're on Facebook Live and Ustream, hit the share button, please. We're about to jump right into today's conversation. It's going to be really, really good, man. This is going to be good. Simply, it's entitled Grow Your Church or Impact Your Community. That's the conversation. We're going to jump into it. It's not going to take long, but we're going to jump right into it. This is simply says this. This is on churchleaders.com. The writer is Dan Ryland, just written this year. He says, growing a church and impacting a community are not mutually exclusive. He says, in fact, these two complex endeavors are highly interrelated. He says, however, a strategy to grow your church may or may not have an impact on your community. In contrast, an intentional plan to impact your community will be highly likely to help grow your church. He says, I don't think this is an ecclesiastical chicken or egg conundrum, but it's often an unintentional strategic error on the part of many churches to allow these two to become prioritized incorrectly.
Wow.
The first goal of a community impact is not church growth. Church growth is a natural byproduct of serving the community and giving yourselves away. He says, it was probably 10 years ago or more that I read this question for the first time. I don't know who first posted it, but it's powerful. Would your community miss you if your church no longer existed?
Wow.
That has stuck with me ever since. He says, are we as Christian leaders doing things that matter? Do our actions and investments make an internal impact outside the walls and halls of our churches? That's a significant question we all should have the courage to answer. Here are some observations to consider as you reflect where your church stands in the light of this idea. Before we get into this,
that's powerful. just number one, will your church be missed?
Yeah.
If it moved out of the community.
Yeah.
It reminds me when I start meeting persons in the Grand Crossing area. That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
And people was telling me, we didn't know that this was a church. Sad part was, there's a big old sign that says First Bethel.
Wow.
But because they wasn't doing the work in the community.
Wow.
It was questioned if this church was still open, existed, mm-hmm. or even it had a great leader.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times we don't know what our odds are stacked against us because we're so big trying to build the inside mm-hmm. that we're not on the outside trying to bring them in to the inside. And I think it's very important because I like how he gave us the opposite. Our job and mission is to go to the outside.
Yep.
And to train them to come on the inside.
He said it'll be a byproduct.
Yeah.
It'll be an aspect of what you actually did in the community.
Exactly.
And this is something that I've been especially over here in Austin, and I'm sure even in your area.
Yeah.
If we go and have an impact on these schools and everything that's over here, we will get the residue.
Yeah. I believe so.
We will get the residue. So let's jump into this. Let's go to the first point.
The majority of Jesus' ministry was in the community, not in the temple. Jesus consistently took his ministry to the people.
Yeah.
The gospel accounts are filled with his interactions out among the people. It's true that he didn't have a modern church to lead and organize like you and I do, but he certainly had his own pressures to deal with and yet always remained with the people.
Mm-hmm.
There is a great tension here because it seems like the larger and more successful our church become, the more we are drawn inward to manage the daily affairs and programs of the church. Wow. It's true for me and perhaps for you too.
Mm-hmm.
It's important for us to intentionally leverage our time, energy, and resources along with whatever success God grants us
mm-hmm.
back out into the community rather than become fully consumed with those who already know Jesus. Wow. Wow. Now, honestly, this is one of the best articles that I have read because this is us.
Yeah.
This is we cannot deny this.
Yeah.
Because what happens when the Lord grows the church,
mm-hmm.
instead of us working on the outside, we mm-hmm. try to work so much on the inside to create new ministries,
yep.
to create new things.
Yep.
And 9 times out of 10, our churches is not geared towards the sinner.
Yeah.
Our churches is geared towards the saint.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes the sinner uncomfortable because when he come there, there's nothing there for him
mm-hmm.
because there's certain levels of ministry that he don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so if your church does not give an open invitation to sinners,
yeah,
you really don't have a church.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm serious.
That's true.
That's not a real church. You know, it's a God grant us back out into the community. Listen, it's important for us to intentionally leverage our time, energy, and resources
yeah.
along with whatever success God grant us
mm-hmm.
back into the community.
So again, and you're doing this, and I think about what you do in the area where your church is, and I think about what you could do with resources.
Sure.
Because you do a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some may even say they believe you're probably stretching yourself too thin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But you do a lot
mm-hmm.
with what you have.
Exactly.
And mind you, a lot of what you do does not necessarily come from your church. I understand
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
And people need to recognize that.
Exactly.
Because he taking all the church money and doing this and that, and
yeah.
that's not the case. However, I just imagine how much greater impact
mm-hmm.
you could have if you had the resources.
Yeah.
And then I'll take that around and I'll go to a different church and wonder if we had the same mindset with wow. resources.
Wow.
You can, so, you know, we got resources, but don't have the mindset.
Yeah.
So, and because the mindset is like what the writer said, inwardly focused. You only consume with the people who already know Jesus.
Wow.
So all of our focus is on uplifting and encouraging those in the building.
Yeah.
who've already given their lives over to Christ.
Already given their lives.
So it's like preaching to save folk. So it's like even in your preaching, and this is why, I don't preach like anybody else. I don't really sound like anybody else. But when you're preaching to people, you're preaching to not only the people that are there, but those who are there who might not, you know, folk go to church. Just because they go to church and they're a member don't mean they say.
Exactly.
So you're trying to preach for conversion purposes. I'm not trying to preach to uplift you. We got enough folk giving motivational sermons. We got enough inspirational speakers. This is to get you to turn your life around if you happen to be going in the wrong direction.
Man.
So we need to be really, really careful of not always looking to entertain the folk in the building.
You know, and you know what's so powerful also about this is, you know, once the Lord blesses us.
Yeah.
With different programming,
yes,
different things that we can offer,
yeah,
the communities,
yeah,
we turn our focus to strictly on that, and not trusting God that He's going to sustain it.
Yeah, that's true.
And so what happens?
True.
We get all worried and focus on, I need to keep this daycare going. I need to keep this this pantry going.
Yeah.
I need to keep this and that going, but then. Now you're starving the sinner.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. You only invite the sinner in to come and get a meal.
That's it.
It's much bigger than a meal.
Yeah.
And so what if you wasn't doing all this stuff consistently now?
Mm-hmm.
And you made an interesting point on how a lot of people say, I believe I stretch myself too thin because truth of the matter, the things I do don't come from the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned this. When people don't put their hard-earned money into something,
yeah,
they don't give it the same passion like
no,
you would.
There's no my former pastor used to say, when you ain't got no skin in the game, it's easy to sit back and do nothing.
That's right.
But see, and it's I heard a clip on Lifeline's website earlier today on Facebook, and it was from John Hanna.
Okay.
Where he was there, and he was like, this thing is personal.
Wow.
And he says, until you take it personal, it don't really matter to you.
It don't matter.
And that's why I try to tell people all the time, because I get a lot of talk back about my facial expressions and all of this.
Uh-huh.
And I say, see, y'all don't understand. See, it's personal for me.
Yeah.
It's personal for me because, see, I do this not for hand claps and for pats on the back. I do this because I think this is the only way I can live my life. So it's personal for me. And anytime it looks like people are cheating God,
wow,
or not giving Him your best. And to me, I take that personal. Because I know how good He's been to me.
Yeah.
Undeservedly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a personal offense to me.
Yeah.
When we do things out of order or not in a way that God would be pleased. So I take it personal. That's me. That's just me. Let's keep it going. Y'all, let's keep it going. Grow your church or impact your community. The second one says this. The greater potential your church has to make an impact in the community, the greater the potential you will receive resistance.
Wow.
He says the enemy loves it when churches become a little comfortable or inwardly focused.
Oh, wow.
He says these churches are not much of a threat in the spiritual realm. But when a church begins to make a big impact in the community, though dozens of possibilities from compassion to justice to simple intentional acts of kindness, the enemy notices and problems seem to increase. It's amazing how many battles can arise when you are attempting only to be kind and generous to those around you who are in need.
Wow.
He says the enemy sees genuine life change in the name of Jesus as a threat, so we should expect to fight. What that simply means is this. When you start to actually try to do something and it has an impact, the enemy will try and attack it, and 9 times out of 10, the attack ain't going to come from the outside.
That's right.
It's going to come from folk on the inside saying there's something else
you
could be doing with that money.
You're hitting it. And also, it reminds me of the conversation I had yesterday. Understand this, people of God, when new converts come into your church, they come in with all type of issues. They come in with all different type of lifestyle.
Yeah.
And you have to be very tactful on how you approach the matter.
Yes.
And especially when they're not offensive to you.
Yeah.
Because truth of the matter, you're more offensive to them than they are offensive to you.
Yeah.
Because at least you know how to be on the other side of the fence.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know anything about this Jesus thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's weird to them. It's Greek to them.
That's true.
We understand the street because we've been in the street.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand the conversion.
Yes.
But people, you got to know this without a shadow of a doubt, that Jesus make it's a mandate
mm-hmm.
that we accept those folks
yeah.
that don't look nothing like us.
That's right.
It's a mandate. We accept those folks that stink, that
yeah.
don't smell like us.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
And I believe that's how God is really testing the church.
Yeah.
He's testing the church by sending these type of angels that we may think they're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But when you sit down and talk with them for a little while, you realize they got more sense than you could ever imagine.
Mm-hmm.
For real. And then I got this guy that come in, and I love it when he come in, because when we're singing, he sound louder than everybody else. He sound more energized than everybody else.
Right.
And some people look at it as being a distraction. I look at it as being participation,
mm-hmm.
something that everybody else not doing.
Right.
At least he's trying.
Right, because if y'all was singing, you wouldn't hear him.
Oh, my God. There you go.
Come on.
You hit it right there.
If y'all was singing, you wouldn't hear him.
Man.
It's I love this because I remember we were getting ready to do an outdoor event here at the church. I think it's going on almost 3 years now. I think this will be the third year. It's been 3 years. So we planned this huge event. I said, I wanted to do something outreach.
Mm-hmm.
So we planned this event. We were going to rented out this huge tent that pretty much took over half of that school parking lot across the street over here, over Duke Ellington over here.
Uh-huh.
Huge tent with a stage and everything. And we were inviting churches to come out and be a part of it. We weren't charging anything. Like, look, bring your choir, send your associate minister over. We're going to get in 5 or 6 minutes. They can get up here and preach and get the community a word. We were feeding them hot dogs and all this stuff. We got hot dogs donated from the Hormel company.
Mm-hmm.
We reached out. I met a guy at a barbershop in Oak Park. And a buddy of mine used to cut hair there at Frank's in Oak Park. Guy was in his chair. Was a VP for Hormel, which makes the Hebrew National hot dogs.
Gotcha.
He sent us, I don't know how many packs of hot dogs, donated
wow.
them to the cause, shipped
wow.
them to us, right? So we got all these hot dogs delivered. I mean, cases and cases
wow.
and cases. And we used that to feed the community, right? So when we got, so what came up was the price of the tent ended up being almost $2,000, something like that,
mm-hmm.
to rent the tent and the stage and the setup and the drop down. And we were going to have it for 2 days.
Wow.
Because what we decided was, since we were going to have it on Saturday, and this was in like July, I think it was August, we were going to have church outside Sunday.
Wow.
So we were just going to do that whole process. The kickback was, we don't need to be spending that money. Now, we had it, and it wasn't an issue of a need to go somewhere else, but we had it. And it was the biggest fight about the money. And then later on, after we had it, people say, well, we spent all that money outside and blah, 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 and all this other kind of stuff. And same thing that you said about your church, people who came to the event said, what church are you all from?
Mm.
And I pointed right across the street, and they're like, well, we didn't even know
wow.
what y'all was doing.
You know what's so sad about that? Is people could focus on
yeah.
the money you spent,
yeah.
but they don't focus on the money that the cut costs.
Exactly. Exactly.
God has a way of trimming stuff
exactly.
down.
Exactly. Exactly.
To what we can, we're capable
yes.
or are dealing with. And so, you know, maybe you guys can help us out with
mm-hmm.
this. Why is it every time that there's a big matter taking place, an event, a program, a situation,
mm-hmm.
that's the time that church folks always get into it? You know, we got to stop blaming everything on the devil.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I'm serious. You know, everything is not the devil's fault.
Ooh, the devil busy.
The devil. So, I mean, we talk about this love, then why we can't love then?
Right.
Let me stop that.
Right. Come on.
All right, here
Let's
it
go.
Is.
Third one.
Let's when go. Your church gets involved in the community,
mm-hmm.
the people are more receptive to your mission and your message.
Wow.
There's a huge variety of possibilities, including options like a local food co-op
mm-hmm.
or a foster care agency, a Habitat for Humanity, or support of a local elementary school, you always talk about that, or addiction recovery house, mm-hmm. or a homeless shelter that scratches the surface.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line is that when people begin to see, sense, and experience that you care about them, their perspective changes about who you are. That impacts their receptivity to your mission and the gospel message. Perhaps many individuals may never attend your church, but observation and experience says that God is pleased with this kind of ministry, and ultimately it does draw people to your church.
Mm-hmm.
When a church gets involved in the community, people are more receptive to the mission and message.
Mm.
And that's true. When you are involved in the community, when the community knows that it's not all about you,
mm-hmm.
and that's one of the laws of leadership,
mm-hmm.
that people follow you based upon what you do for them.
Yes, that's true.
People are going to follow. If they see that you have a heart and they're going to do for you,
mm-hmm.
You're doing for them, then they'll follow you. Now, let me say this to you people.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the pastor has a heart,
mm-hmm.
don't mean that the church cannot have a heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because it takes everybody in the church to have a heart, open
mm-hmm.
door. Because I've seen this. Many people love the pastor,
mm-hmm.
but don't like the members.
Yeah.
I'm serious. And then many people, I mean, it could be a crisscross.
Yeah.
Many people would like the members, but don't like the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we got to really learn and bring that sense of unity to the church, y'all.
Yeah.
There's so many people that's hurting.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen this many people in my life that's hurting the way that they are.
And they in church. That's,
yes.
That's the – it's a it, – and it's funny. It's not funny. I'll use my former pastor's word, ironic. It's ironic that there's more unity for folk who don't go to church than there is for folk in the church.
Amen.
And because you have people that look care more about how you feel outside the church than some of those in the church.
Yeah.
Because at least outside, outside I expect to be hurt.
Yeah.
I expect to be betrayed.
Yeah.
I expect to be stabbed in the back.
Yeah.
I expect to be lied on and talked about and all of that stuff. In church, this is the place where I'm supposed to be able to come and if I had hair, let my hair down and let some of these brick walls down and open myself up to be receptive for what God has for me. But unfortunately, I'm around a bunch of other folk who don't trust nobody. So everybody is guarded. And because we're so guarded, we're afraid. I'm going to hurt you before you get a chance to hurt me.
Man, I'm going to get my lick first.
So it's just like it's just like the saying, hurt people hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
That is no truer than in the church, because there's a lot of church folk walking around with church hurt. And watch this. If you never address it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of stuff in some churches, I'll be honest with you. I know some stuff about some church. That if you just addressed it,
mm-hmm.
the church would start healing right away.
Definitely.
But because we refuse to address
Definitely.
The hurt, because we refuse to address it, because we refuse to even acknowledge that it happened.
Yeah.
I don't care what's going on. If you are in a whether it's an abusive relationship, a bad friendship, and y'all stop talking or y'all no longer talk to each other anymore, and all of a sudden you reconnect, you don't just reconnect without somebody in the back of their mind saying, I remember what you did to me.
Wow.
And I'm going to carry that. But if you come back and say, you know what, look, we're older now. I know things happened.
Yeah.
I know there was some fault on both sides. I'm going to take ownership for my part.
Yeah. Yeah.
And let me own it. If what I did, I know what some parts of what I did.
Yeah.
Some stuff I don't know because we've never talked.
Yeah.
But if there's anything I can do
mm-hmm.
to reconcile this thing so that you and I can be, watch this, not only in good standing with each other, but be in good standing with God.
Thank God.
Then you and I can move forward. Immediately healing will start taking place.
Immediately. Yeah.
But we refuse to address the fact that hurt people are walking around hurt. You wonder why your church won't grow. You wonder why you got a clique over here in the church, a clique over here in the church, and then a bunch of folk in the middle who don't have a clue to what the hell going on.
That's
it's
right.
Because you will not address the not the elephant in the room, the circus
in
the room.
You got Ringling Brothers and Barnum Bailey on one side. You got the Universal Circus on the other side. And if you ain't paying attention, Shriners is in the middle. They just got circus all over the place.
It is. It is. And that's why the church is so cliquish, too.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know, our problem, we want to hit the things that's so visible. But
yeah,
there's some hidden stuff that needs to be hidden and brought up and taken
yeah
out.
Yeah.
And because we carry this stuff everywhere we go.
Yes.
Everywhere we go.
Yeah.
And this is the sad part. No matter how many churches you attend,
yep,
you still on your joy, and you still going to got that same matter.
Until you address it, it's no different than if you were in an abusive relationship and you go with somebody else. And move on to somebody else. If that is not addressed for you, if you don't start to heal, the other person you go get with, that relationship ain't going to be right. The next relationship is going to suffer because you don't address the issue. Come on, let's get it.
All right, number
I don't know which four. Four, yeah.
You grow a church on your terms.
Mm-hmm.
You impact a community on their terms.
Come on.
You get to decide what structure and programs make up the foundation of your church.
Yeah.
The key leaders have the privilege and responsibility to make the major decisions that determine the culture of your church.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to impacting the community around you, people require that you meet with them on their turf and on their time and on their terms.
Yeah.
For example, whether they then create your own church sports league of some kind,
mm-hmm,
why not go out into the community and volunteer to lead, coach, invest financial resources into sports leagues that already exist. So in essence, they saying, don't you try to do an aggressive takeover.
Yeah.
Don't reinvent the wheel. If something is already working, why don't you try to enhance it?
Yeah.
Instead of trying to do your own thing. And I've seen this happen. A lot of churches, pastors go into communities and they do a takeover.
Yeah.
But they don't have the support of the community.
Yeah, because they don't know you.
They don't know you.
You can't come. I remember being at the community meeting over at the 15th district.
Uh-huh.
And people said, you don't come into a community, especially some communities have strong block clubs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But because you're the new pastor around,
yeah,
instead of you coming and introducing yourself,
yeah,
just show up.
You just show up.
And here you come. Now, it's not that they're not appreciative of who you are.
Right.
But before you come, you don't know the needs of the people.
Man, that's crazy.
So here you come with
that's
all
crazy.
This good information, but you don't know the needs of the people. We don't need all that. We might just be needing this one thing. But here you come with this truckload of stuff. And it's like, look, bro, we just need you to address this thing. Can you help us with this? But because we are so inwardly focused, we're thinking, well, if I go over here and we do this for them, they'll follow me. No. Find out what my need is. Here's a very good example. You hungry.
Mm-hmm.
I know, right? We got competing stomachs growling up
yeah
here. I know that you hungry. I'm going to take you to the store. And I'm just going to start throwing stuff in the basket.
Mm.
Never once asking you what you need.
What you need. Mm.
So then we leave out me. I'm thinking, man, I just spent $200 on groceries. Cornelius ought to be grateful.
That's right.
Yeah, Cornelius is grateful. But if all Cornelius really wanted was some rice
exactly
and some biscuits,
yeah,
and you done bought all this other stuff,
Jesus,
that he ain't going to eat, that he don't need because he has that and he's lacking in this one area.
That's right.
But because I didn't take the time to address Cornelius on a personal level.
That's right.
To find out what exactly you needed.
That's right.
To then say, hey, or then I find out, oh, this is all you needed was some rice and this. Well, look here, I'm going to get you some rice. I'm going to get you this. And look, I know this goes with this. Now I'm addressing your need. And now Cornelius can say, well, I appreciate you addressing my need. And then I'm going to get a little bit of what you want too in the same time.
You know what's so crazy? We go opposite, bro.
Yes.
All right, that's just like going into a refrigerator and it's filled up with food.
Yeah.
With nothing you need.
Exactly. Exactly.
Here it is. All that you want, but
yeah,
the main ingredients
yeah
that you need is not in there.
Kool-Aid, no sugar.
Kool-Aid, no sugar.
That is. Ham, no burger.
Yeah. French, no
talking
fries.
Okay, let's stop talking. But you have to do it on their terms.
On their terms.
You have to go out to where they are and find out what they need. You don't go up and show up. You see a bunch of kids out and say, well, we're going to build a community center. Do you know if they do we need one?
My point. So, in essence, you have to – it's called survey.
Yes.
You have to survey your area.
Yes.
And not only – get to meet the leaders of that area.
Yeah.
Because truth of the matter – and let me say this. It's not just block club president. Get to know the gang leaders. Because you walking in and out of the church, at least you know them, they're going to watch over you. They're going to protect you. I mean, and they'll befriend you, and then they're going to respect you. You know, we so caught up that because we the church, we don't need nobody's approval. Man, please. You know, they have a right to vote you in and out of their community. They really do.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we fighting and fussing for all the wrong reasons, man. Listen, the church need help. We need the community, and the community need us, man. It is, you want to start a shelter, but it's one three doors down from your church. But you never knew it.
Exactly. Because you don't go out. Exactly.
Because you don't go out.
There it is. And this again, is the business side of the church.
Yeah.
This is the business side. Because you don't put a grocery store where it's 50 grocery stores.
Right.
You survey
right.
the land. You go to the areas that are dry.
Exactly.
They call them the dry zones and put grocery stores. I need to do this real quick before we move on. I just got a text message from one of our deacons. His son was shot. It says, brothers, we're asking for your prayers. Kevin was in a vehicle that was shot up this morning. I'm wondering if this was the Eisenhower situation. He was shot in the face and in the hand. He's in stable condition. Two other guys in the car, one died and the other was unharmed. Please keep the King family in your prayers. Wow.
Wow.
So definitely our prayers right now, Father God, we just ask
yes, God.
For the covering for Deacon Carl King and his son, Kevin.
Yes, God.
God, we ask a special prayer on him, God. God, we ask that you would come right now, God. We know that you are a healer, God.
Yes,
we know that
God.
You are a deliverer,
yes, God.
God. We know that you are a sustainer.
Yes.
So right now, God, we just come asking right now, God, that you would heal him, God. Not only
yes,
heal
God.
Him physically, God, but now, God, that because of this situation, you would heal him spiritually,
yes,
God,
God.
And let him know, God, that you are still on the throne and that you are still there for him with open arms, just waiting on him to come back to you.
Yes, God.
So right now, God, we ask that you would pray, that you would move right now on his family, God, that you would cover his mother and his mother and his father right now, God. Cover the rest of that family right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Man, that's whew, that's
man,
rough.
We just talked about
rough.
We don't know if that's it.
I don't know if that was the same situation
yeah.
or not. I'm going to reach out immediately after the show is over. Let's finish this up, man. Last one. He says, you can grow a church on history and tradition, but you must become relevant to impact the community. He says, don't confuse relevance with style. Relevance is not about your choice of worship or how casual you may or may not be. That is about style and preference.
Mm.
Relevance means that what you do matters. Relevance means that your ministry changes things. People are different and the surrounding community notices that they matter to you. They experience that you care firsthand. It's true that Christians in particular will come to your church because what you offer is tried and true and comfortable. There's nothing wrong with that. It's simple reality. It's a simple reality that when churches get larger and really good at what they do, they often attract more Christians. But when you serve people who are hurting and or far from God, that expression of compassion may not directly help your church, but you are definitely aligning with the heart of God. Man, that's you can't do this with the thought of I'm going to get them to come to my church.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing this with the thought of I want to be in right alignment with God.
Mm-hmm. And also, and keep this in mind, people, our job is not only to be relevant, but
mm-hmm.
our job is to be revolutionized.
Mm-hmm.
That means change.
Mm-hmm.
That means convert.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to change people from the old them into a new them.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens, we're not taking the time out to even know what it is that they're crying for on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people that come to our church daily.
Yeah.
They crying on the inside. They're
yeah.
hurting on the inside. And number one reason why they're crying and hurting, because their heart is not aligned with God.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to a pastor this morning, and he was saying how a lot of – he's been saying lately how a lot of preachers, ministers, evangelists been start preaching feel-good messages now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You know, honestly, we can't – just keep preaching feel-good messages.
Mm-hmm.
We got to preach messages that's hit the heart, that will cause conversion and conviction to take place, get people closer to God.
Mm-hmm.
That's our mission. That's our duty as men and women of God.
Absolutely.
It's to get people to get back to God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I pray, our prayers is that the local churches can really take a close look at how we are failing our communities and figure out a strategic plan on what we need to do to make it happen. And don't use as an excuse, we don't have no money, because it don't take money to do a wave. It don't take money to speak. It don't, there's a lot of things that we can do without money. Remember, y'all, I have four flavor snowballs, and it cost me $30, and I gave over 300 snowballs away.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say what you don't have money to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, money can't buy you love. Money can, it's a lot of things money can't buy you.
Yeah.
But one thing I do know, when God sees your heart and he knows that your heart has the capacity of doing his work, he's going to provide for you. And I tell anybody, everything that we have done at First Bethel is not because we had the money at First Bethel, but the Lord has trusted the hearts of the people, knowing that we was going to be integral to do everything that we have set out to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, people of God, it's time. 2017 is time. No excuses at all. Listen, don't be afraid of the shooter. Don't be afraid of the bullet, because the Lord will cover you. I'm serious.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why they're out there hitting all these innocent victims is because we're not making enough noise to be out there to protect them. And I'm not saying take a bullet and all that, but sometimes your presence fear
That's
people.
It. That's it.
I remember me and you, when we was growing up, when we talked about this last week, how even we partook in certain things. Dana said where he grew up at, they wouldn't let him get in the gang.
No.
They wouldn't, because they seen something on him.
Mm-hmm.
Sure enough, I was in the gang, but they still made us go to school.
Yes. Yes.
And so I'm not saying that we need to go back to that sense, but we need to get to a place that our communities are being appreciated. And even in your community, in front of your church, pick up the trash.
That's it.
I mean, it's a lot of things that we can do to show the community that we
care. Or don't just pick up the trash on your block. Go pick
that's
up,
right.
Go clean up the whole block.
Get a crew.
That's right.
Get a crew.
Just go clean up. Like, for instance, our church sits on the main street central, but it sits on the neighborhood street of Fulton.
That's right.
So it's like, if you're going to clean up the church, go on down the block.
That's right.
Go on down the block.
The Pine.
Go on down the block. Or watch this. Call Austin High School.
There you go.
Call Duke Elder High School and say, we want to put a crew together to clean up the community.
There you go.
Can you come out and let them
there
know, like, so, and make it a partnership? And so you go up and down these blocks and start doing some stuff and let them know that, you know, we care about what's going on over here. You should, too.
And not only that, let me show you something. What happened now when all these schools closing, because your school here and there's a need for them to be here.
Yep.
We're going to do whatever we can to make sure they stay here.
That's good.
And so I've seen a lot of school closing. It wasn't so much because of bad grades. It's because they wasn't doing nothing in the community. It was not impacting the community at all.
Wow.
At all.
Wow. That's good. That's good. Where are we at?
Oh, we pretty much done. Reaching out to church and impacting your community requires out-of-the-box thinking, compassion, challenging the status quo, and change. Listen,
man,
we got to think outside of the box, people. There's going to be a change in 2017. I believe that, and I'm trusting God that he's going to do some supernatural stuff. And don't be surprised if you see a mega shift taking place. Some people have been in boot camp stage for so long that they're ready to get in that seat now.
Yeah.
That God is going to open up some seats for those who have been in war, those who weathered the storm, those who didn't give up and then throw in the towel. God got a reward for you. Chapter 2:25. Listen, all the years that the locusts have eaten, the Lord is about to do it, y'all. I'm serious. He's about all those silent tears that you have cried. The Lord is about to reveal some things in the believer's life. This is not the time to give up on God. This is the time to stay close to him and have the capacity to receive the blessings from the Almighty God and watch what God do for us.
Amen. Look, y'all, it's been a wonderful show, man. Look, it's been a good first day. Y'all pray for us as we're going to pray for y'all with this fasting and praying. Y'all keep focused, man. Keep your eye on the prize, as they say, and look not toward the heels, but look beyond the heels, because your help don't come from the heels. I could preach that one day.
There you go.
Your help don't come from the heels. Your help come from the Lord.
Yeah.
But man, so we're going to keep enduring this thing. We're going to go forward.
We're going to stay in prayer. We're going to stay in fasting. And we're going to stay in prayer and fasting for you all, too. My brother going to pray us out, and we're going to get out of here.
Father, we thank you once again, God, how you continue to allow your glory to be transmitted on this air. God, we know we have reached so many people today, God, and I thank you that we have able to deposit now, God. We pray that you replenish everything, God. God, even in our city of Chicago, we pray, God, that peace be still, God. Families that have been impacted or victimized by various acts of dangerous violence, God, we pray that you allow the family to receive comfort and strength, God. As we leave the place, God, allow your spirit to continue to dwell in us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, amen.
Amen. Look, y'all, y'all stay blessed, man. And look, in the city, please stay safe, stay safe. Keep your head on the swivel. We will see y'all on Wisdom Wednesday. That'll be around January the 11th. Y'all stay blessed, man. TTLO, we are out of here.
Love Jesus, bless his name. My soul, love Jesus, my soul. Loves Jesus, my.